said she was leaving. Here was the last time she walked away. As she walked through that door, wish I'd said more to make her stay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, 'cause she tried so, so hard to love me.
From sea to shining sea, throughout the solar system, and extending to interstellar.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. And that's not a cliche. That's absolutely the truth. You know, in the world of the strange and unexplained, things are not, while the subject matter is quite different, things are not so different from the rest of the world in terms of culture and sociology and so forth. And one of the things I think all of us are quite well aware of is the fact that as new data comes along, people change their minds about things. Our guest this evening is Gordon Gianni Noto. He'll be joining us in just a little bit. And he's got some new data when it comes to Nibiru, Planet X. And so we're going to be talking with him about that and find out if he's changed his views about Nibiru, Planet X, pole shift, things like that. It should be quite interesting to find out, you know, where is he on all of that now that he's got some new and different data. So you'll want to be sure and stay tuned for the entire show. Here at the Kevin Smith Show, we publish something called the K-Files, and it's absolutely free. It's our newsletter. We send it out every 2 weeks. True enough, this last edition has been delayed because of all of the software issues that I was dealing with to get fixed so we could get back on track with the show. We were pretty much, it was either fix it or go out of business because it was just a cascading thing and we had to get it fixed. But normally, every 2 weeks, we send out the K-Files, and it's 100% free, and we've been publishing the K-Files since the year 2000. And we have people who are subscribed right now who subscribed back in 2000. And I think that says a lot for the K-Files. I think it says it must be a pretty good publication. But it's always got articles in it relative to things in our genre. It's got links to videos that are videos within our genre. Sometimes they're just 2 or 3 minutes long. Sometimes it's a full feature-length film, documentary or something. But a bunch of videos listed. And then there's always an article by me called The Inside Scoop. Well, The Inside Scoop is the inside information from in here at the Kevin Smith Show. Again, it's all free, and there are no strings attached. All you have to do is subscribe. Just click where it says K-Files on my website. Subscribe, and then you're going automatically to get an email. It's got a link in it that you have to click in order to activate that subscription. Be sure you do, because if you don't, then you're not fully subscribed. You won't be getting it. So click that link, all right? All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Gordon Giannotto in just a moment.
All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, Gordon Giannotto is our guest this evening. Let me go ahead and welcome Gordon. Gordon, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Kevin.
All right. Now, Gordon has been my guest on this show a number of times, and we've talked about a number of different things, a lot of different things, but prominent in our discussions have been discussions about Planet X / Nibiru and pole shift. And Gordon has been pretty much on the, well, very much on the side of the idea that Planet X, Nibiru, is coming through our solar system and is going to create great havoc. There's going to be pole shift, and a lot of people are going to be displaced, and a lot of people are going to die, more will be displaced, so forth. But in talking with Gordon, I have discovered that Gordon has come across some different information, and that this information may have changed his views. Maybe. Let's find out. Gordon, what is the different information that you have come across?
Well, I got an echo. I'm not sure why. Do you hear that?
No, but that would be because you have your volume on your either your speakers or your volume in Skype is too high.
Yeah, I'm going to turn that volume on the speakers down. Okay. Yeah. As people who have heard me before know, I said that that I first realized that we were going to have pole shift around 1968 when I was reading Edgar Cayce. And then I read Worlds in Collision. Then in 1974 when Zechariah Sitchin's book came out, that absolutely explained to me how it could happen. Whereas the year before that, 1973, I had an unbelievable dream. It was a live... what do they call that? A lucid dream where you actually live through pole shift for months all in one night. And I woke up, I will never forget this dream, and it was caused by World War III, which at the time I didn't realize that one of our lovely President Nixon's plans was to have a first strike on the Soviet Union and China simultaneously. And Watergate prevented that, thank God. So... but then I had a waking vision sitting on my couch in 1988 that lasted for a whole day. And this time it was Earth changes that caused pole shift. But the most dramatic thing about that was that the skies filled with saucers after the pole shift and there was open contact with ETs. So I had always been interested in this. I myself am a UFO contactee, ET contactee. And, I met my wife in 1990, and we've been together since, and she has been having Zeta babies, and she's been on your show and is in the archives, which is a good reason to sign up if you want to listen to this stuff. She's been in the archives describing how she has had hybrid children, which are going to be the new race, which that by itself scares a lot of people, but it need not, because if you really think about it, you're born, you live, you die. Why not have a better model next time you incarnate? You know, why would you, if you liked a 1964 Corvair and you just kept buying a new 64 Corvair while everybody else was driving new Mercedes SUVs, it'd be kind of out of place and you'd be outdated.
You know, so what? Now, this is a little bit of a departure from what you're talking about, but you just brought it up. And I got to tell you this, Gordon. My first car was a 1963 Impala Supersport, and it was decked out, man. I mean, it was a great car. And I won't go into the details, but it became necessary for my dad to divorce that car from me. And he replaced it with a 1965 Rambler Classic. And I gotta tell you, of all the cars that I have owned, and I've owned a bunch of cars, two of them are the best. Now, I mean, I've had Audi, I've had Mercedes, I've had Cadillac, I've had Lincoln. That's back when I used to be wealthier, much wealthier than I am today. And you know, and I mean, these are supposed to be like, you know, supercars, right?
Right.
The best car that I ever had mechanically was that Rambler.
I'll bet.
And the second best car that I ever had was a stripped down, no frills, standard transmission GMC Jimmy.
Yeah.
I put
yeah.
like 250,000 miles on that thing and never did anything except, let's see, I replaced a clutch once. Uh-huh. Of course, you know, brake pads.
Yeah.
Changed the oil and filter, and that's it. And both of these are the two cheapest cars I ever owned. Best ones I ever had.
Well, I tell my wife, you know, we live in a house that I built in 4 days for $11,000. It's at the top of a mountain, and we're ready for pole shift at any time here in the middle of the Maine coast. But I said, you know, if I do make enough money to build a house, a regular house with plumbing, which we don't have, I said, you know, you're going to look back on this time, 13 years so far, living in this house as your favorite time of your life. I guarantee it. Uh-huh. Because... you know, when things are simpler, they're easier to understand and they're more enjoyable, really. There's not all that complexity that you don't have, you know. So I sympathize with you.
Yeah. Well, and the best time, I think, in my life was when, you know, I was in the East Timor. There was no electricity, no, lots of times there was no running water unless you had it in a bucket and ran with it. And it was absolutely technologically primitive. But my wife wanted to see where I lived and worked, so she came and stayed for a month in East Timor. And our life there in East Timor, absolutely fantastic, uncomplicated all the way. But let's get back to
when I met my wife, I had asked the ETs to help me find a partner, and I went out and met her, and I've discussed this on your shows too. And so we were lecturing together starting in 1991. In the spring of 91, we went out lecturing together about our individual and collective UFO experiences. And finally, about 2006, I said, is there anybody that's saying what we're saying? So I started this search on the internet, and I had looked up Zeta Talk and in 1995 when it first started, and I thought, well, I already know that, and it wasn't very you know, detailed as much as I saw of it. But I went back to it in 2006, and I went, oh my God, this woman is saying exactly what we're saying, Nancy Leader. But she's saying it in so much more detail. So I began to read, and there's about 39,000 pages of text and data on the Zeta Talk website. And I call this one of the greatest gifts to humanity, because the pole shift is, you know, you say pole shift, that's like, oh, Dr. Doom, you know, is talking once more. But pole shift is really a process. First, you have Planet X coming into the solar system, approaching the Earth, causing pole shift. But then you have, in the process of that happening, you've got massive social change, you've got the collapse of governments, the collapse of religions, the collapse of economies, the collapse of banks. Then you've got massive geographical and Earth changes happening, absolutely massive. Mm-hmm. You know, sinkings, risings, tsunamis, you know, huge sloshing of the oceans, volcanoes, earthquakes, I mean, you name it. And then after that, you've got the collapse of all governments, they're never going to come back because, and you can, the interesting thing is you can start to see that now. People are beginning to ask themselves, why do we have government? What good is it? You know? And, so anyway, and then you've got open contact with ETs, and then you've got the Earth going to a higher dimension where we're going to be living on the planet without any selfish people here. And it's going to be like, just like sort of like in the book of Revelation in the Bible, that there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. And during which time, what would happen then? And that would be that you would have a choice of being born on the Earth in the new race. You would probably be involved with open contact with extraterrestrials and traveling to other planets, other galaxies, who knows, possibly even other time systems or universes. I mean, it's you know, you why limit what the ETs can do? So this is a big thing, and I have always said that the Earth is in a big mess, and it's going to take a big broom to sweep it clean. So I hate to admit it, and people have said, "Well, isn't that very selfish of you to enjoy the fact that maybe 90% of the Earth's population, maybe 6 billion people out of 7 billion are going to die?" And I have felt a little bit guilty about that at times, thinking, well, why would I want them to die? But then I think, you know, this Earth is in such a big mess, why wouldn't you want a big broom to sweep it clean? And if it was swept clean, then everybody could have a fresh start. Because if you are an eternal soul, you're born, you live, you die, then you're born again and you live and you die, and you reach a point. Isn't there more to it than that? And that's what this dimensional change is sort of like a graduation to a new level. So all of that is in Zeta Talk. And Nancy Leader she's in telepathic contact with the Zetas, and you know, they plainly explain that everywhere in the universe there's sentient life. And there's all the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just the way we have people here on Earth, you got the good, the bad, and the ugly up above. And it's the unselfish ones that have slanted this whole operation, which you could call it an operation, because you could just have the tribulation and who would care, you know? In previous tribulations, such as Noah's flood or Atlantis sinking or the Jews leaving Egypt, you've got all the same events we have today, but then record keeping goes to hell. So, and then really, you know, things start up again, but they start up the same way. Well, this time they're not supposed to start up the same way. They're going to be different. So, you know, this is a really big event, and it isn't just a disaster, because let's face it, no matter how you slice it, you're going to die. You know, you're in a body on a planet. There's going to come a day where you're too old or decrepit or sick, or a disaster gets you, a volcano explodes, a rock falls on you, a crack in the earth opens up, a tidal wave comes in. There's a million different ways to die, but you are going to die. So I think the more mature approach to this is to realize that if everything's meaningless, then that's it for you, you know, which I can never accept. And most people I know can't accept that either. They're like, well, you know, I feel like an old soul. I have skills and attitudes and sense of humor and intelligence and wisdom and crafts and musical ability, artistic ability, all these qualities. Where did I get them from? How come everybody doesn't start out exactly the same? And you look around you and you see people sitting on their ass doing absolutely nothing about anything. And then you see other people just picking the ball up and running with it from the first day. So why are all these differences in people, and what does all that mean? So I think you have to go with the idea that you will live again and you are an eternal soul. Because if you leave that out, I don't know how the hell you can explain anything.
But now all that you have explained, that tells us what your position has been about Nibiru and pole shift. But based on our conversation today, it sounds to me like Gianni Noto has had a pole shift.
No, I won't say that I have a pole shift. What I will say is I've come in contact with information from two people who I will name later in the show in particular, who have a slightly different aspect on the pole shift part of it, not the ultimate result, and not the collapse of the governments, not the massive social disruption and changes, not the eternal soul, not the meaning of life, not the new race, but the actual events that bring this about. And I'm going to put that off a little bit, maybe to help create some suspense. But it wouldn't really be fair, because I have been on the show so many times and I have discussed this before. It wouldn't really be fair unless I explained what the Zetas say and why.
I think people know because of the previous shows,
right,
what the Zetas say.
Well, there's lots of new information, though, that sort of updates it, which is what I was hoping to have, is not only an update of what the Zetas say, which they are the only group, and I want to be very clear about this. Nancy Leader has been telepathically asking questions and getting answers and writing them down for 18 years, and she has an unparalleled record of accuracy. Nobody else can compare with their record of the breadth of the information and the depth of the information and the accuracy of the information. And these two other people that I'm going to mention later have no track record, but yet they have very interesting things to say. And that's why I feel that I would be remiss if I didn't mention what they say, partially because one of them has been on your show three times. And but they are not in the business of making predictions or being accurate. So, but their information in conversations with me has brought a new approach to what's going on. So I am going to mention that, but I do want to say that if you go to poleshift.ning.com, that's where people who are interested in pole shift and Nibiru post pictures of it. Now, if it's not there, how come my wife was able to take a picture of it from our yard in March? There was a very uniform cloud cover, and she went out to look at the rising sun, and there were two bright spots in the sky, one above the other. And how could that happen unless there's two suns?
Now, did she see the two suns? Did she see that with the naked eye?
Yeah, with the naked eye, it was two bright spots in the clouds, one above the other. And there was no reason, by virtue of the cloud cover, for there to be a separation in the sun. In other words, there wasn't some sort of a knife edge dividing the sun in half and reflecting part of it down and the other part up. This was actually two suns. She took the picture right in our yard in March. And I myself have taken previously lots of pictures of something about the 5 o'clock position of the sun. And that's where, if you read Zeta Talk, which I hope that you will, that the listeners will, because this is a vast fund of information about all this entire subject.
All right, we have to step away for a break, Gordon. But we'll pick up there when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, Gordon Gianinotto. And we'll hear the updated information in just a moment.
I might be okay. I never needed anybody.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Gordon Giannotto. Okay, so Gordon, we had to cut you off kind of in mid-sentence there because the break was taking over. So the mic is yours.
Yeah, so, you know, if Zeta Talk were just like a stationary target, like, Nancy Leader said this and that's all there is to it, that would be one thing. But this Poleshift Ning is where members of this Ning, which a Ning, by the way, is it's a club, like you can form it yourself. You can have your own Ning. You could have the Kevin Smith Ning or some other Ning. And so they pay a fee to have that, but they can have members for free. And those members ask the questions. So you ask yourself, where do all these questions that get asked to the Zetas, and then Nancy Leader writes out the answers, where do they come from? They come from the public, and this is the current means by which the public can ask questions. So people go to the Ning and post Planet X pictures. Well, there's a guy in Italy, Alberto Cardin, who's been taking pictures of Planet X every single day, and the pictures get more and more spectacular. Now, you've got to understand, if it's at the 5 o'clock position, so it's in between the Earth and the Sun, but it's not directly in front of the face of the Sun, it's off to the side at the 5 o'clock position. And just the way when you go out to take a picture of the new moon, you can't, because you can't see it because the other side of it's lit. In the same way, you can't take a picture of Planet X because the other side of it is lit by the Sun. But it's got hundreds of moons, it's got thousands of rocks, trillions of pebbles, and it's got a big cloud of hydrocarbon oil and red iron oxide dust all around it. And that's what these pictures show, is the Sun completely surrounded by cloud of moons, rocks, and dust. Now, it's 93 million miles from the Earth to the Sun, but Planet X is off to the side, as I said, off to the side. It's not directly in line between the Earth and the Sun, but it's off to the side. And the tail of it, these moons, rocks, and dust, stretches for about 10 million miles towards the Earth. So the tip of it's only 20 million miles from the Earth, and this is loaded with rocks. Plus, it came through the solar system and it disturbed the asteroid belt and stirred up a lot of rocks and asteroids out of their normal orbit. So those things are coming in. So if you look at the news, you have this incredible weather, which I think, you know, it would be hard put for anybody to deny that the weather, erratic weather, is continuing. And you've got this huge cold spot that's west of the Hudson Bay, instead of at the North Pole, instead of in the Arctic. And that's the coldest spot. And just the other day, Alaska reached, I think it was 90 degrees. So it's a very strange climatological picture. And you have the Gulf Stream, which should normally go from west to east in the northern hemisphere and east to west in the southern hemisphere, is making these giant loops. And why would it be doing that? And it would be doing that because the Earth is wobbling. So these are all proofs that Planet X is here and disturbing the Earth. And, you know, there are a lot of people, and you've had some of them on your radio show, on your interview, where they're saying, well, it's a star, it's 18 times the size of Jupiter, it's coming in.
Okay, well, hang on just a second. On that issue about the Earth wobbling, I have asked a number of people about that, on the air and off the air as well, and everybody that I've talked to says there's absolutely no evidence that the Earth is wobbling. Everything is as it should be.
Well, that's a very small number of people, and an even smaller number of people are the ones who notice it, because the average person knows absolutely nothing about anything, as far as I can see. It's very discouraging trying to talk about this. But what you get is the Sun is rising so far north that it's way out of place. Some people are noticing in various places on the Earth the Sun rising as far as 48 degrees north of where it should be. And the other day I went out about 3 in the morning and it was almost completely bright at the North Pole. And I'm like, what in the hell? Because, okay, it's, you know, near June 21st, so the sun's on its trip as far north as it can get. But why in the hell is it bright at 3 in the morning almost to the North Pole? I mean, I'm talking north, 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 northeast. And, you know, you have to notice these things. I have sent to you, but you don't really have a way to post it, a 5 megabyte file of the Earth taken from a geosynchronous geostationary satellite, where very plainly the Earth is wobbling in this GIF file, and it's unmistakable. The satellite, you know, they were planning connecting satellites with a carbon fiber cable to the place on the Earth, and then they could put an elevator on it and go up into space 23,000 miles away using an elevator, but they decided against that because of airplanes and spacecraft. So they're never going to do it. But anyway, if a satellite's in a geostationary orbit, it should be directly above the same point in the Earth, and the Earth should always be there. And here in one of the GEOS GIF summaries is the Earth wobbling. The North Pole is wobbling away from the Sun and then back towards the Sun, away from the Sun, back towards the Sun. So there is proof out there, and it's just like when we talk about the strange stuff that's going on Mars, and you go talk to the average person, they have no clue. But, you know, you and I and many other people have discussed all kinds of stuff on Mars that there's just no way in normal archaeological and scientific explanation should be there, but yet there it is. So,
well, that's true. That is true. Okay, so we will assume that the Earth is wobbling, and so where do we go from here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's still a lot of proof. Now, one of the things the Zeta said was that the Great Atlantic Rift, which regular scientists know this, there's an upwelling of magma in the center of there's a line of mountains that goes from the Antarctic to Iceland, and it goes right down the center of the Atlantic. It actually follows the curve of going around Africa, but it is in the center of the Atlantic, and there's a crack in it, and magma is forcing its way up in the center, and so the Atlantic Ocean is in the process of widening. Well, one of the things the Zetas predicted was that Africa would rotate to the north part of Africa would rotate to the east and the south part of it to the west. And then they predicted that the north part of South America would rotate west into the Pacific, and the south part is pretty well anchored with Antarctica, so it would stay. But instead, a big crack would open up where Brazil and Argentina are, so that the north end of South America could go west. Well, just the other day they announced that they found a new subduction zone in the Atlantic Ocean in between the Azores and Spain. And if you think about putting a push pin, let's say that the map of Africa is not attached to the paper, it's just like a cutout and it's sitting on top of the map of the Earth, and you put a push pin in the center of Africa and you rotate it clockwise slightly, you'll see that the big lump at the top of the left lump at the top of Africa is going to go up closer towards Spain. Well, that's exactly what this new subduction zone, they had thought that was all frozen for millions of years, nothing was changing, and all of a sudden this guy came up with proof that the subduction zone exists, and what's happening is the wet northwestern corner of Africa is actually moving up towards Gibraltar. Well, this is not something where you're going to go sit in Morocco and watch Gibraltar come up and bump into Africa and cut off the Mediterranean. But that's the end result of it, is that gap that is at Gibraltar is going to close. And this subduction zone proves that that's in the works. And this is exactly according to what the Zeta said. And at the same time, if you look at South America, and once again, you make South America a cutout and you lay it in its right place and you stick a push pin into the center of it and you rotate the top of South America to the left into the Pacific. And you see, if the Atlantic's widening, it's going to push, it's widening most in the center of the Atlantic, then it's going to push the north end of Africa to the east, and it's going to push the north end of South America to the west. And if you look, you see that there's huge cracks opening up between Central America and Colombia. There are cracks going down all the way down the west coast, where South America is actually trying to and started to move west. And this is all exactly the way the Zetas said it would happen. So there's a lot of physical evidence, and you see, all these plate movements causing bridges to come down, gas lines to explode, fiber optic cables under the oceans to part. So all these things are ongoing, and anyone, if they just want to look at this for themselves, they can go to poleshift.ning.com, and they've got all the articles from all the newspapers around the world. They've got the pictures, the maps. But one of the most interesting things is that Google Earth has maps of the Earth.
Okay.
And those are drawn a long time ago. But they're constantly updating the satellite pictures. Well, if you're aware of this, if anyone's used Google Earth, which I assume most people have, you can click on a thing where it has both the map and the satellite picture in the same image. You've done that probably.
No, I don't use Google Earth.
Well, what it does is it puts the roads and the borders and the shoreline, everything. But mapped as a roadmap on top of the picture. Mm-hmm. Well, try that in Southeast Asia, and it's unbelievable. Islands have moved, coastlines have subsided, other areas have risen, and you can go to poleshift.ning.com and you can see this yourself, that even Google, their maps and their aerial, their space photos of Earth do not match anymore in many, many locations. So this is like an indication that what the Zetas said is 100% true, and it's ongoing, even though they said that first there was going to be the shattering of Japan from south to north, then they said that the New Madrid Fault would go off, and then there would be a huge quake on the Atlantic Ridge that would send, because of the Gulf Stream, it wouldn't go west, it would go east, it would send a wall of water 300 feet over the UK. Then
That's what the Zetas said.
Yeah,
about
the Zetas said. But then we discussed these humming metal boxes on your show, and that were first spotted on the beach in Oregon. But then different ET channels said these are put there by extraterrestrials to ameliorate the Earth changes, because now the focus is going to change from this event calendar. That you have these Earth changes, then you have massive social change, then you have even bigger Earth changes, then you have pole shift. They're going to ameliorate stage 7 out of 10, which was these initial Earth changes, the New Madrid Fault being one of them, ameliorate that so that they could go right to massive social change. So that's an interesting idea, that the ETs would interfere and say, okay, we're going to wait for the massive social change so that everyone on Earth can wake up and know that that's what's about to happen. So that nobody, there won't be a situation where only the elite and the powerful know what's about to happen, and the rest are all in the dark and they're expendable anyway, so who cares? So this is like an evening of the social structure, so that it's not the elite having the advantage over everyone else, and everyone would have an equal opportunity to move to a safe area. And Zeta Talk has a whole list of what areas would be safe, and basically they're to stay away from massive earthquake zones, stay away from subduction zones, move inland away from the coast at least 100 miles, at least 200 feet high, for safety because of the sloshing of the oceans. So what I'm saying all in all is that everything that Nancy said and the Zetas said through Nancy is still happening, although in terms of the Earth changes, it's a slower process. It's not, you know, I think there's nobody who followed Zeta Talk who didn't think this would have already happened. Maybe 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012. Here we are, 2013, and it still hasn't happened. Now, you had Courtney Brown say that he remote viewed two times, 2008, June 1st, 2008, and June 1st, 2013.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll pick up there when we come back. We'll be right back.
taught me how to love. Now love is something we share. I can't imagine living my life alone. Now that I have you, baby, I'll be happy.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Gordon Giannotto. Okay, Gordon, you're going to have
to get back to the political.
Yeah, you're going to have to get to the point, though, or you're going to run out of time giving us the new stuff. Yeah, you are, because I'm going to open the phones up.
Oh, you misthink that. Anyway, so the political aspect. Now, in the fall of 2011, the Zeta Talk said that President Obama is planning to announce Planet X, and he's created a whole description where it's going to be especially vague. He goes, there is a rogue planet. So now we have the Weather Channel's done some shows on rogue planets, and there was NASA said, well, there is such a thing as a rogue planet. So is Planet X a rogue planet? Well, if it keeps coming back every 3,600 years, is it really rogue? Maybe it's in orbit somewhere and we're just part of its little trip. But anyway, the thought was that President Obama had to announce it. Now, personally, I didn't really think he was going to just because he's of the goodness of his heart, but I thought he'd have to, because if the government doesn't announce this, then how ridiculous is it going to be when everybody looks up in the sky and sees this big planet surrounded by red clouds from the volcanoes on it going by in the sky? People are going to go, what? You didn't tell us about that? So to me, he had to announce it. That was my reasoning. The Zeta said he definitely always planned to announce it, but there's so many people that don't want it announced that he's under actually danger of losing his life if he chooses to announce it in the wrong way. And there have been several attempts. And what was funny was one of the attempts to use the national broadcast system, the emergency broadcast system, actually some TV stations went to court and got injunctions against the White House using the emergency broadcast system. Now, who in the hell would do that? Well, let's just select one person, Dick Cheney, who, if you remember, wanted the Wyoming legislature to buy an aircraft carrier for Wyoming, which, okay, so you don't believe in pole shift. You think all this is a bunch of garbage. What in the hell is Dick Cheney trying to get an aircraft carrier into Wyoming? It turns out there is one that could be refurbished and brought to Wyoming. And if you're Dick Cheney, what a better place to have as your command center. You've got 5,000 men, a nuclear reactor, a full flight deck full of armed airships. Great place. So there are little pieces of this puzzle all over the place that point to the fact that, you know, something's happening. So, you know, and right now, how could you even get an aircraft carrier? But if, as the Zeta said, the Mississippi Valley submerged and the Red River that goes into Wyoming flooded, then you definitely could steer a aircraft carrier right into downtown Wyoming and use that as your castle. So, you know, as funny as some of this sounds, it's really true. But on the other hand, where is this announcement? So, you know, then you have this series of events which clearly are meant to, on the one side, to embarrass the president. And if you look at President Obama now, you clearly see this guy has got something really heavy on his mind. To me, when I see him on TV, I'm thinking he's not even really there. He's got something that's so, you know, subject of so much consternation that he can't get it out of his mind. Well, there was that funny fire in the West Wing of the White House in an electrical panel. Well, nobody thinks there was a fire in the electrical panel that happened by accident, because the White House is like probably one of the best maintained and operated facilities in the world. And how do you get a fire in a closet? And supposedly, and this is just a rumor, there was a note saying, well, you know, don't forget we can kill you and your wife and kids if you don't do what we want. So when I talk to people about this, they say, well, you know, you can think that you're president, you're in charge, but really from day one you're owned. So you have to pick your time and your moment. So then you have these meetings, like when Cameron left Putin in Russia and flew immediately to the White House. Like, what are they saying? Why couldn't they send an email or make a phone call? Why do they've got to speak in person? So there's all this stuff about, is the president going to announce it or isn't he going to announce it? And of course, as you know, there's absolutely no sign that he's about to announce it. But everyone who's a Zeta Talk fan, myself included, have like hung on every little change in politically, is he going to be able to announce it? And now you've got this immense embarrassment of Benghazi. Then you've got National Security Agency and Verizon, that issue. You've got the IRS targeting certain groups. I mean, I know there's a couple more. I just can't think of them at the moment. But so there's all these issues. And meanwhile, a lot of people are saying, well, why don't they just arrest the bankers that caused the huge collapse in 2008? Because the statute of limitations is going to run out, and there's no sign that any of those are going to be put in jail. So it seems like, you know, some of the things that Zetas have said haven't happened yet, you know, because if the president was going to announce it, I mean, I don't know about you, Kevin, but if I were president and I wanted to announce it, I don't know what I'd do. Just walk out on the street or call a press conference for one thing and just start talking about it. I mean, I really don't know how dangerous it is to bring this out or not bring it out, but clearly there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. And I know somebody who was in an airport, and he saw a group of soldiers going through, and he goes, well, where are you guys, now that you guys are released from Afghanistan, where are you going to get jobs? You know, they're lying about the economy. It's not 7%, it's more like 14 or 21 or 28% unemployment, might even be 50% unemployment. And the soldiers all laughed at him and said, you got to be kidding, we're not being released, we're being sent west to be trained for the future riots. And then you have all this ammunition that the Homeland Security is purchasing, which is just so far over the top, arming weather service people and you know, Social Security people, mm-hmm. arming them. So there's something plainly is in the air, but people can't really get a grasp on what it is. But what it is worldwide calamity. And, you know,
so what is this calamity? What is the calamity? Is Nibiru going to do a pole shift on us or not?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about pole shift, but I'm talking about the economy is a house of cards, because the elite have drained all the money out to use it for their tunnels and every other damn thing they've been doing. And now you have this guy Snowden over in Hong Kong. He said, I didn't want to live in a world where all this went on. So he's released this information because he feels that everybody should know about it. And like I was talking to you this afternoon, people don't realize this spying on the populace is going back to 1946, March 1946. The U.S. government and the U.K. signed an agreement that they would each spy on each other's citizens, because it was illegal for them to spy on their own citizens. They're going to spy on each other's citizens and then share the data. So this has been going on. I mean, wouldn't you say that more than half the population wasn't even alive in 1946?
Yeah.
So
I think that would be a safe assumption. Yeah.
Before most of your listeners were even born, they were already spying. And this went back to World War II. They were listening.
Well, that's interesting. We just lost your audio.
Oh, no.
Okay. Now we're back.
Okay. I'm getting gold bars. I hope I don't have to go to a phone call.
Well, we can't go to a phone call.
Oh, okay. So, the question is, if the economy is a house of cards and people are getting fed up with government, and the Zetas say that there's going to be massive social change. It started out with this Arab Spring, which nothing much seemed to come of it. There was the Occupy Wall Street, which exasperated a lot of people, because people feel that the Wall Street Occupy people were a bunch of lazy bums, and if they really
want... Yeah, we just lost you again.
I'm not sure.
All right, go ahead. We've got you.
Okay. So there might be a little fluctuation. I've been waiting months now for them to fix I get broadcast internet, and they're supposed to be fixing the tower mm-hmm. with a new, higher, different frequency transmitter. So we'll see.
But all right, we are less than a minute from break, and when we come back, we'll be opening the phone lines.
Okay. Well, I'm going to fit in what I've got to say with the other people that I want to mention, and it's not lengthy, but I can fit.
Okay. Well, lost your audio again, but we're headed for break. And when we come back, we will come back with the telephone lines open. 623-444-5889 is the number. So go ahead and write it down. Get ready to do the calling because we are opening those lines right after this.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Gordon Gianinotto. And Gordon has been talking with us about Nibiru and Pole Shift. And somewhere down the road, he's going to talk with us about different information that he's come into possession with. But let me welcome those of you who are just now joining us in the second hour. I'm delighted you're here, and you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. And my sincere hopes, prayers, dreams, and wishes that you never suffer that trauma again. All right, Gordon, wrap it up because we're going to open up the telephone lines.
Okay.
The mic is yours. You got about 2 minutes here, max, and then we're going to open the phone lines.
Okay, so I became friends with Andrew Bartzis, and it's probably because of me that he was on your show the first time. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's a very interesting individual, and he says he can read the Akashic Record. And I was discussing Pole Shift with him, and he said there isn't going to be any Pole Shift. And I said, what? And he said, the ETs have moved Planet X so that it won't cause Pole Shift. And I'm like, what? And he goes, aren't you going to write your book on Pole Shift before Pole Shift? And I said, so what are you saying? That I should, that Pole Shift isn't going to happen, but I should still say it is going to happen? And he goes, well, you're like a whale song for planet Earth. And you're going to harmonize all the people that think there's Pole Shift. And then you're going to tell them that they're all creators in training and they can change their future. And meanwhile, it's been moved out of the solar system, but then the forces of darkness brought it back, but then the forces of light brought it away, then the forces of darkness said, okay, you're going to play that game, and moved it back on a slightly different dimension, where if you think you're going to have Pole Shift, it'll happen, and if you don't think it's going to happen, then it isn't going to happen. So it's like, okay,
well,
that's very interesting.
Let me interject a Kevinism into that. Horse pucky.
Yeah.
It so, either is on the menu or it's not on the menu.
Right, exactly. And as I just outlined in detail, there's plenty of proof that it's still on the menu. I'd like to see Obama announce it, then I could be sure that you know, we're all on the same page. But they've released tapes of the announcement and distributed them around the world, so it's possible that it could leak from another country. After all the countries in the world have gotten copies of this, and they're supposed to hold it until the president announces it. So at some point, this could get announced by somebody else, and that's what we can also be watching for. But anyway, so then I thought, goodness gracious, who else can I ask? And there's another ET channel, Atma Guthrie, who's the one who's correctly said that those metal boxes were put there by extraterrestrials. Now, if the extraterrestrials can put tens of thousands of metal boxes around the Earth to ameliorate Earth changes by creating a little vibration that releases the Earth faults gradually instead of all at once, then why couldn't they move Planet X? So I called up Alma, and of course it's almost impossible to reach her. I left a couple voicemails, and 2 weeks later she said that she went into a trance and she got an ET to channel what the truth is, and then she had her husband write it out and they sent it to me. And what it is basically is she's agreeing with Andrew Bartzis. The ETs put a net around Planet X and the moons, most of the rocks, and moved it out of the way of the Earth so it can't cause pole shift. So you have two people who have no track record. They're not known for prophecy. There's no record of accuracy like the Zetas, both saying that Planet X has been moved and there's not going to be any pole shift. Alma says that the presence of Planet X disturbed the sun, the earth, and the moon so much that the repercussions are still happening, and that's what's happening here. And they put a net around it and moved it, but they didn't get all the rocks, so there's still going to be rocks hitting the earth. So, okay. Then she didn't put in there, but she told one of her friends who told me, a mutual friend, that that she was told to buy an RV within a week and get ready with her husband to move east from San Diego towards Arizona or New Mexico at a moment's notice. So you've got to ask yourself, if there's not going to be pole shift, why does she have to move away from San Diego at a moment's notice? And Andrew had said to me, if you're such an unselfish person, why would you wish that 90% of the Earth's population dies? And I was thinking to myself, well, they're a bunch of hedgehogs and ingrown toenails, and I won't miss them. But then I was thinking, well, that's unnecessarily cruel. But Alma had an explanation. She said the Earth, and you have to really look around to find these people, but she said the Earth has progressed spiritually to a point where nobody really deserves to have this disaster come in and take out everybody all at once.
Again, horse pucky. We are killing people wholesale all over this planet.
I know. We're about to go to war in Syria or Jordan or Turkey or God knows what. You know, there's
When I say we, I don't mean the United States. Certainly that's included. I'm talking about our race.
Our
fellow beings are engaged in extermination worldwide. So I don't think we have spiritually reached the place where we deserve anything better than what we've created for ourselves.
The people with the guns, the tanks, and the nukes obviously haven't, but... you know, that's the whole issue here. But so, because Andrew's been on your show, I felt it would be remiss if I didn't tell you that within the last month, that's what he told me, and within the last week, that's what Alma told me also. So,
okay.
I want everyone who's all of your listeners to have a level playing field here, to have all the information on the table. Look over the cards and see who you think is telling the truth. The evidence, first of all, from all the predictions and the accuracy of them, definitely declares that Zeta Talk is the winner.
Okay, we're going to open the phone lines. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Brent, I've talked to you before.
Yes, you have, Gordon. I do check up on the Zeta Talk website once in a while just to see what they're... I'm like Kevin. I will not dismiss it out of hand. I'll look at it and think about it and draw my own conclusions. But I want you to understand something. Everybody looks at things through their filter of their own lives.
Exactly.
You're going to see things the way you want to see them. Now, as a lawyer, you should know that you cannot prove anything to anyone. You can present the evidence, and they have to prove it to themselves.
Very true.
I cannot prove to you that 1 + 1 = 2. I can present you the evidence, but you have to prove it to yourself. Now, the question I have for you is, have you ever considered the possibility that you may be wrong?
Oh, yeah, every day, because I'm not somebody that, like Andrew says, he can read the Akashic Record. I'm not.
Well, we lost you, Gordon.
No, now I got red bars.
Now you're back, though.
Okay. So, no, I'm not reading the Akashic Record. I don't go into a trance to channel ETs, and I don't have an implant in my brain to communicate telepathically with the Zetas. So I'm left on my own, just like you, and I use my intuition with my heart to decide whether something's true or not. And this is all new information to me, so I'm sharing it with your listeners because I want everybody to know what's being said about this stuff. You know, so you have a choice, but absolutely you have to go with what the Zetas say, because there's evidence accumulating every single day that says everything they said is true. And these other two people who I mentioned, Alma and Andrew, have no track record.
And we lost you again.
Love it if somebody had proof in another direction.
Okay, Brent, you got another question or comment?
No, it's just, Gordon, I will make one mild comment. You do come off kind of forceful sometimes, so you might want to think about toning it down a little bit, but that's up to you.
Thanks, Brent.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call. Well, I don't know, and Brent, let me comment on that. I don't think it's forceful when someone is stating their opinion. Now, if they're saying, now look, this is true, this is a fact, And if you don't believe this, you're a dummy. Well, that's different. But if a person is stating their own opinion, I expect them to state it with assurance. You know, other than that, I expect them to say, if they're not going to state their opinion with some assurance, then I expect them to say, you know what, I really don't know. And you hear me do this all the time. Things where I really have a strong opinion about something, I go ahead and state it. And I state it, you know, I say, well, for me, the evidence is in, and that's that. But I'm not saying it's that way for you. And but you also hear me say a lot of times, you know what, I don't know. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Jason from Texas. Actually, been a while since I've called in.
Yeah, I remember the voice, though.
Hi, Jason.
All right, hello, and I'm sorry, what was your guest name? I missed about the first 20 minutes of the show and didn't catch his name and missed it when you came back from the break, too.
All right, Gordon Gianinotto. Gordon
all right.
Gianinotto.
All right, it's good to have you here, Gordon. And I don't know, I do have a couple of points of contention, especially with a lot of what's going on with the Zeta Reticulan stuff. And if you would bear with me, I mean, one of the things that I always hear, and I believe I heard you mention it during the first half of the show, was that the Earth is wobbling and it's basically off axis. And you would think that would interfere with geosynchronous satellites, right? Well, I kind of have direct proof that, well, I've had DirecTV since 1996. My satellite dish on the side of my house is pointed at 183 degrees south and about 36 degrees up. And having set up a few of these systems myself, if you're off more than a quarter of a degree, you're not going to be able to get any television. Now, I know that the dish on the side of my house has had a rock-solid 99% signal ever since, you know, 1996, and I think in my mind that kind of proves that the Earth isn't wobbling, and, you know, I'm still pointed at something in geosynchronous space, and it's not moving around, and it still works. And in addition to I have one more comment about the accuracy of the Zetas also. I remember when a lot of this was going around, when was that, back in 2002, 2003 or so?
2003.
Yeah, 2003, I believe. I want to say it was like May 22nd or March 22nd or possibly 23rd when they said that Planet X was supposed to come by and cause the pole shifts and everything. Now, this was information directly from the Zetas as far as I can tell, and they were blatantly wrong. And when that date did not happen, Nancy Leader had basically said that the Zetas said, oh, we've corrected that. We pushed it back a couple of months. Apocalypse never happened then. And then it kept getting pushed back and back and back. And I don't know, I just really can't find that much significance or any reason for me to believe these Zetas or Nancy Leader. And in fact, this is another little anecdote that I have. After the dates had passed and absolutely nothing had happened and Planet X didn't kill all of us, Nancy Leader was on another radio program, Joe Montaldo's program, I believe it was. This was like 6 months after the date had passed. And I remember coming across Nancy Leader basically making the suggestion that this date was coming, her Zetas were absolutely correct, and that if you were a pet owner and you have a pet, that the humane thing to do would be to euthanize your animals, you know, before, you know, they face sulfur and brimstone or whatever was going to happen. And I'd actually called in, and I mean, I was somewhat hostile. I have to agree with that because, hey, I'm a dog lover. If anything happened to my dog, I think I'd completely and totally lose it. But basically, Nancy Leader was going around telling people that it would be better for you to euthanize your pet than to let it live through whatever was going to happen when Planet X came. And I kind of chided her for that. I mean, I more or less accused her of saying, look, if I hope nobody out there took your advice because you just helped murder Fluffy the kitty. And I was a little bit upset about that. But her response to it is what made me lose any shred of credibility that I had for Nancy. After I asked Nancy that question, her response was exactly like this. She's like, oh, I'm instantly channeling the Zetas right now. And the Zeta Reticulans basically told me off and said that I was a pathetic person, you know, worse than a has-been. I was a never going to be. And who was I to question them and Nancy? Now, I don't know about you, and you could say that I do have a personal stake in this since I was more or less insulted by channeled extraterrestrial aliens, but this is just my opinion.
I think these sound
more like the ramblings of an upset, bitter woman that's trying to give what she's got made up in her head some kind of credence based on aliens. And, I know you're going to disagree with me, but that's basically my point. I'd just like to know what you think about
I can't get a word in edgewise. Not too many people have ever been told off by the aliens, but I remember this story. In fact, Jason has called in before, I think, when you were on.
I remember him. Uh-huh. I remember.
So what's the deal with that? Nancy channeled the aliens, and the aliens basically told him, hey, run along, kid.
Well, she starts off gruff, and she ends up being really sweet. So now I talk to her quite frequently on the telephone, and I can tell you she's an honest, hardworking person trying to get information out, and she only gives what she's been given.
What about that incident? Do you think that she, that's a piece of toast too big for Texas. I'm instantly channeling the aliens, and they're telling this guy that he's worse than a has-been. He's a never-gonna-be, all of that.
She did that to me on, she used to be on Godlike Productions, and she did that to me at the beginning. She goes, well, you think you're unselfish, but really you're selfish, and gave me hell for a while. So mm-hmm. I'm used to that, but I can tell you, having known her now for 6 years, and it was a slow start, believe me, because she was always gruff with me at the beginning. But mm-hmm. honestly, getting to know her day by day, I feel that she is honestly doing the best she can, and she is trying to. And if you knew how many times she has been personally attacked by people after people after people.
Well, look, everybody that's in this business.
Right.
You deal with the world of the strange and unexplained. You're going to be attacked. I get attacked every week. But here's the point.
She gets exasperated once in a while.
Well, here's the point. The point is she blamed it on the aliens. Now, that, as I said, is a piece of toast too big for Texas.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm not responsible for whatever she did, and I wasn't even familiar with what she was saying until 2006. But I'll try and explain a few of these things. The first thing I want to say is that I'm retired and I live at home and I leave my TV on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and I have DirecTV. And I cannot tell you how many times in a day that signal flutters, like it's going to cut out, just like it does when there's a huge thunderhead or a massive storm to my southwest, which is where my dish is pointed, only it's a crystal clear blue sky. So I have to say that based on my own experience of watching a great deal of DirecTV, and I'm a news junkie, I'll admit it, I get fluctuations all day long, like in that movie The Arrival with Charlie Sheen, or Independence Day. Mm-hmm. Like there's an interruption with the TV signal, only I don't believe it's alien messages. I think it's just earth wobble, but I'm getting them all the time. So,
all right.
And I've gone out and taken pictures of Planet X next to the sun. My wife has done the same. I've got all kinds of pictures of two suns rising or two suns setting. So if it's not there, then how come it's there? So that's my comment on the DirecTV.
All right. We got to move on, man.
Okay. Let's move
on. We have another caller. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi. My name is Robert. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hello, Robert from Phoenix. I used to live in Phoenix.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Gordon. I just
Hi, Robert.
Been listening to a show. Fantastic show, by the way. Love Gordon. And I just wanted to add something here that I think one of the things that is going on, at least from my perspective, is that if anybody has gone to the American Meteor Society and just looked within the past, I don't know, just go back even the last couple of years, and you see the increase of fireballs that have been that have been reported to the American Meteor Society. It's been astronomical, actually. As of to date, right now, there have been reported, we're a half a year in, 1,269 fireballs reported, which those are meteors. Now, in my opinion, if you go back in history and look at the amount of reports that have been reported, it has increased tremendously every single year. Now, what would account for this? This is what I would have to ask myself. Now, I myself have taken a picture of Planet X exactly where it's supposed to be, right near sunset. It was actually closer to the 6:30, 7 o'clock position when I took the photograph. It was there, absolutely. Now, regardless whether it's been captured or not is irrelevant. What I'm looking at is the amount of meteorites that have been coming into the Earth's atmosphere, increasing, you know, 5-10 fold every single year. Now, what would account for this? What would account for all the bizarre weather we've been having? Look at what's happening in India, Indonesia, Eurasia, Europe. The weathers have gone to the extreme, and all of this. Volcanoes have been going off everywhere. Yet, mainstream media remains completely silent about this, and it is us, the alternative media, as I call it, who have been reporting all this information.
Okay, so what do you think
something
is causing
it? Something
has
changed drastically, and now you have all this meteor activity. Something is going on, in my personal opinion.
What is it? What do you think is happening?
We're going to be hit by a rock. That's what I'm thinking. I think it's exactly what Gordon said that Alma had brought up, which was very specific. And I think he hit it right in the head, that a rock is going to get through and it's going to hit the Earth. It's not going to wipe out the Earth. Absolutely not. But it's going to cause enough devastation for people to wake up. And hopefully that will bring about the true social changes that we need in this country. But, Kevin, thank you for taking my call. Gordon, I'm just going to listen off the air to your answer, my friend.
All right. Thanks for the call. Gordon, Gordon is experiencing some problems with his audio. I'm watching that happen. Gordon, do you have a response to Robert?
Yeah, I agree with Robert. Something is happening, and you can't deny that it's happening. And the only really good explanation...
We lost your audio.
Yeah, the only good explanation is Planet X.
All right. We're headed off into a break. So as we do, let me remind you, folks, the telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, then you can call that number, or you can do something else. We have an additional option for you called a flash message. Go over to my website. You'll see the link that says flash message. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Don't get carried away. way by the distance. Don't get carried away, let them play with your mind. Get so carried away with the fire of the distance we left you behind. Scary picture the window paints, invisible words that say don't look through. No rain now can save or soothe me. Sounds like someone that I once knew. Something's waiting on the other side. Something moves like a feeling call. Radio plays that same damn line. Radio, radio line. Don't get carried away. Don't get carried away, play with your mind. Get so carried away with the fire of the distance. Someday you'll find, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Gordon Giannotto. Gordon, I was watching your audio fade away and come back and fade away and come back all during the break. You're back right now. We have a caller on hold. You ready for another call?
I certainly am, and I did like Robert's comment because something clearly is happening.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Well, let's see. To begin with, I can point out anything I want to in nature, anything. A tree outside my window, the grass growing in my yard. I can point out anything and put a narrative, surround it with a narrative of my choosing. Whatever it was that put that tree there, whatever it was put that grass there, whatever it is that's causing it to grow and do the things it does, I can put a narrative on that, and then I can proclaim that if you deny my narrative, you're also denying the tree or the grass. And that's false. You know, that's not true. You know, my narrative might be crazy. My narrative might be dead wrong. But the tree and the grass are still there.
Yeah, but I don't think Gordon's
not
doing that.
We have moved into a very busy part of the galaxy. You know, the 2012 people, they got one thing right. You know, we moved into the galactic plane where there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of particulate matter, a lot of energetic activity, a lot of things. So we're going to be encountering more things like fireballs and meteorites and asteroids and so on. There's just going to be a lot more activity, and that has absolutely nothing to do with an alleged Planet X. Another thing I'd like to point out is that people are being put out of the Army. You say they're not. They're being moved west. I can tell you that they are. I can tell you who's being put out of the Army and why, you know, but that's another subject. So they are being put out of the Army. You know, I forgot my next point. It's rough getting
all on. Right. Well, let's let Gordon respond to what you've had to say.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned trees, because if you go to PulseShift.net, you'll see that trees all over the world.
Well, we lost your audio, Gordon.
Here.
All right, you're back. Trees all over the world.
Trees all over the world that are being cut by chainsaws are bleeding red.
I think that was bleeding red sap. But we don't have your audio.
I remembered my next point, Kevin. Can I speak?
Yeah, go ahead. And Gordon, when you come back, Steve will be speaking about his next point. Go ahead.
So far, I haven't seen anything come true that the Zeta Reticuli people have said. They talk about Earth changes. They talk about this and that. And there's always suspense dates with those. It's going to happen by here. It's going to happen by then. And they keep changing it and changing it as reality collides with their narrative. Reality's going to win out over any narrative unless that narrative is in agreement with reality. So they have to keep changing the narrative to keep up with reality. That falsifies the whole story. Now, another thing I'd like to point out is young Jason from Texas and his response to Nancy Leader's recommendation that people euthanize their pets. Now listen, if there's seismic activity coming, or if there's heavy-duty earth changes, your pets are going to be your lifelink. You know, they are an early warning system for earthquakes, tsunamis, all kinds of things. When you see them head for the hills, and when you see them act strange, you better follow your pets. Follow that dog. Follow those cats, whatever they are, whatever you're raising. Those are going to save your life. You know, the people who followed the elephants and the wildlife up from Indonesia when the big tsunami hit in 2004, they survived. You know, so we don't need to euthanize our pets if something's coming. You know, you need to watch your pets. You know, keep them around you. My cats will save my life, and I believe they'd euthanize me before I could euthanize them anyway.
Okay, Gordon, try to respond. We'll see if we can keep your audio up here. Well, we don't have any audio from you, Gordon. Gordon, I'm going to hang up, and then I will try to reestablish contact with you and see if that's any better. Steve, I agree with the thing about the pets. Now, the thing is, though, Gordon is not responsible for what Nancy Leader had to say. You know, she's responsible for that. The thing about that whole exchange that disturbed me is that she told Jason she's channeling the Zetas, and you know, they took him to the woodshed. And you know, that's, I used a phrase, I don't know how else to say it. Well, I do, but you can't say it on the air. That's a piece of toast way too big for Texas. It's just not near believable. But at the same time, you know, Gordon is not responsible for Nancy. So.
Well, Kevin, when he is a purveyor of Nancy's message, then he is responsible for it.
No, you know, I don't buy that. I don't buy, because I mean, you like this show, and I say things on this show from time to time that you disagree with. And you're not responsible for what I say. And, you know, just because you like the show overall doesn't make you responsible for whatever I have to say.
Well, what does make him responsible, though, Kevin, is when he keeps pushing it and saying, this is true, this is 100% accurate, you know, this is the only game in town, this is the only narrative that explains this or that. Well, that's not true, but he keeps saying that. That's his words, not Nancy's words, and that links him to her message. And so he has bought into it.
Well,
and,
I would agree.
I don't know any other way to say it.
I would agree that Gordon has bought into Zeta Talk, and he thinks that it's very, very accurate. I can tell you that he has questions about it. He has differences with Nancy, and in fact, they've had some pretty tough conversations because of his differences with things that she was saying. But I don't think it's now. Look, Gordon's got to stand on his own two feet, but at the same time, I don't think it's really fair for us to hold him responsible for Nancy's overall everything just because in general he agrees with the Zeta Talk stuff. You know,
well, what I'm attacking, Kevin, is the message. You know, the whole message, the whole idea that I'm going to create a spin and a narrative, and mm-hmm. I'm going to attach it to these things that are clearly visible in reality. You know, I can see what's going on in the sky. I see the sun rise and set. I see those things. So, you know, I'm going to just attach a narrative. I'm going to make up a narrative and apply to it, apply that to the reality that I see, that you see, you know, and you better buy into it, by golly, because my story is the only story. And if you deny my narrative, then you're denying the very sun itself,
yeah,
you're denying whatever. And Kevin, that is a logical fallacy. And so is ad hominem. Ad hominem attacks, that's attacking the person rather than the message, that's a logical fallacy too. You know, and, you know, I can be called names. I've been called names before, and I'm not going to come on this show and do that, you know, but at the same time, I'm going to challenge this message.
Well, that's fair.
Like I have to.
That's fair. You know, I challenged a couple of things earlier when I said, horse pucky. It's either on the menu or it's not, you know. And that's fair. There's not a thing in the world wrong with challenging a message. But still, to be fair, we cannot hang Nancy Leader around his neck and make him responsible for everything Nancy says. Only for the things that he quotes.
There you go. And it seems to me that that's what Mr. Johnny Noto is doing. He's taking major portions of her message and hanging them around his own neck. You know, he's the one who's choosing to be a spokesman for that message. You know, and then he's also being part of the spin that changes the narrative when reality meets it in the face and reality doesn't match up with the narrative. Okay, well, let's put a spin on the narrative. Let's change it up a little bit. And now, see how true it is now? You know, but that's part of putting a spin on things, and that's unfair.
Well, and that is one of the huge problems that I have with any kind of prophetic statements or predictive statements. You've heard me say it before, that very same thing. And when we were dealing with December the 21st, 2012, you remember what I said? I said,
oh, yeah.
You know, they're just going to come up with a new horror message and use it to scare the hell out of people because nothing is going to happen on December 21st. And as it turns out, nothing happened. But Nancy Leader has thousands of people that I guess you could say are like followers that really think that these messages are from extraterrestrials and they think that they are valid and true. But let's assume for a moment that these are real messages from real extraterrestrials. Let's assume for the moment that that's the case. That still doesn't tell you whether these extraterrestrials are truthful or whether they're liars, whether they have an agenda. You know, I mean, there are a whole lot of things to consider about this. Now, I will say this, I do think people should go read Zeta Talk. I've spent a lot of time over there reading Zeta Talk. I think you should read it so that you know exactly what's being said, and then, you know, whatever opinion you come to will certainly have a more concrete foundation. But, you know, I certainly agree that you can create a narrative about anything and spin it any way you want to spin it. If that weren't true, you wouldn't have anybody elected in Washington that is elected today.
Amen to that, brother.
And so it definitely can be done. And, you know, I did a show about that where I talked about, you know, the way things are being spun both in mainstream media and in the alternative media. And, you know, I talked about, you know, people are trying to manipulate on both sides of this fence. It's not just mainstream media. So the way to do this is for folks to read Zeta Talk for themselves and use critical thinking and sort through it and decide what they think.
Oh, by the way, Kevin, you know, this weekend we're supposed to have a super moon. It's the summer solstice coming up, and we're going to have a huge full moon. We're supposed to be real close to the moon. It's going to be something to see. So if you have a little spare time, I would recommend you go out and take a look at the moon. It's going to be beautiful. I did not get that information from Zeta Reticuli.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you something. I am going to go look at that supermoon, and I was talking with Zoltan from ZKAG, who told me that means I have $1 million check on the way.
Oh, brother, tell him to send some my way.
No, you don't believe in him.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I don't believe in it.
All right.
Oh, well, I guess I got to keep working.
All right, I got to take a break. Gordon is still working on getting some audio back, and we will return right after this. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Looks like we've got Gordon and his audio. I hope we've got his audio back. Gordon, are you with us? Well, Gordon is connected, but we're not getting any audio whatsoever from Gordon. So I don't know what the deal is. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Kathy from the Jerry and Kathy part of Las Vegas.
Hi, Kathy.
I have to admit that I need to make a confession.
Okay.
I'm guilty of regarding the Nancy and the dog issue as the baby in the bathwater. I find that I'm throwing a lot of it out because the dog thing really upsets me.
Well, and now look, here's the thing. I'm not a defender of Nancy Leader, but I do know something about being in the public eye. And so let me explain something. I come on this show every night, and I just be myself. If you meet me in person, I am exactly in person, just like you see right here on this show. And so sometimes I say things that upset people. And then if they tell me, and they're kind of brash about it, you know, I am prone to say, oh, well, okay, grow up, you know. And that, and then more people get upset with me, okay. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. That's how I am. And even my family is, you know, they'll comment about things like that, you know, when I say it. But that's me. And it doesn't mean I don't like the person. It doesn't mean I don't care about their feelings. It just means no big deal, no drama, get over it and let's move on, you know. But people don't take it that way sometimes. And then they do throw the baby out with the bathwater. They say, well, I'll never listen to that show again. Okay, well, that proves they need to grow up, right? And the same thing is true with Nancy or with anybody that's in the public eye. They're going to say things and do things from time to time that really are going to, you know, stick in your throat. This deal that Jason called in and told us about, you know, with the aliens insulting him, that sticks in my throat. I don't believe it. Period. I don't believe it. I do not think she was channeling aliens, and I think she was just being an ass and blaming it on the aliens. But I could be wrong. Maybe the aliens are asses. But the thing is this. People who think that Zeta Talk is worthy material, they're not responsible for everything Nancy says. And that would not, even though that sticks in my throat, that would not negate everything that's in Zeta Talk. You know, I got a little bit of problem with this. The very first person to ever do genocide, you know who it was?
No.
God. It was the flood. That was the first person that ever did genocide on this planet. It was God. Now, that pretty much sticks in my craw, even though I understand the arguments for why it was done. That sticks in my craw. But that doesn't make me throw the Bible away and say, well, there's nothing in there of value. I'm just not going to read it. I'm not a religious person, but I'm also, you know, you've heard me say it. I'm not religious, but I'm not an idiot. There are things in there that stick in my craw, but I'm not going to toss the baby out with the bathwater. And I think we need to do that with the Nancy Leader Zeta Talk material. People need to read it. They need, before you form an opinion about it, read it. Know what's being said.
And it's also good that at least I was able to realize that I had fallen into that trap so I can look at it again and say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But another thing I wanted to mention about why I think some of the predictions may not be always coming out the way it's predicted is that they're made based on the current timeline that we're in, which leads to a certain probability. And the reason why they don't come true is that we're constantly jumping different timelines or different probabilities of the future based on where we're going. And maybe the fact that people think about an issue is enough to raise the consciousness of the planet to move that timeline so we don't have that problem, so we don't have the Planet X and all that stuff.
You may be right about that. Let me ask you this. What's your opinion of the Bible? I'm going to use it as an example, but what's your opinion of the Bible?
An instruction manual for the people at the time period of how to act in a good society and treat each other.
Okay, well, there is a story, several of them, but one particular story in the Bible where a severe warning of great cataclysm was given to a certain people if they didn't change the way they were thinking and acting. They did, and the cataclysm didn't happen. Now, this story is usually called Jonah and the Whale. It was not a whale, it was a great fish. But Jonah delivered this message. He didn't want to deliver it. He wanted the people of Nineveh to be wiped out because he didn't like Ninevites. But after he spent 3 days in the belly of a fish and then got vomited up on the beach, he decided to go deliver the message. So he delivers the message, and the people of Nineveh, as the story goes, turned around. They woke up, they turned around, changed their way of thinking and acting. And so the cataclysm didn't happen. If that sort of thing, if that's true, I mean, if that story is true, then you have certainly an ancient precedent for the consciousness of the people changing the direction of the timeline.
That's fascinating. So Nancy could be their Jonah.
It's possible. You know, that's a possibility. And but I tell you what I don't buy. I don't buy the idea that a thing can be and not be all at the same time, which is what Gordon was telling us. You know, basically that was the message from one of the other people. If you think Nibiru is coming, it is, and if you think it isn't, it isn't. Horse pucky. It's either on the menu or it's not. It can't be and not be all at the same time. So, but I think, you know, it is possible for the consciousness of a mass of people to change the direction of a timeline.
Well, it's a good thing the Kevin Smith Show is heard worldwide.
Yeah.
Hi, yeah. Everybody.
Hi from Las Vegas, huh?
Indeed. Well, thanks a lot, Kevin.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Now, so you may disagree with that. What is that? I hear a beep. Do you hear a beep? I heard it in the headphones. It's not the telephone, and I don't think it's Skype. No, it's not Skype. I don't know. I heard a beep, though. You know, tonight, what I wish we could put Gordon back on. I can't get him. I can get him online. I can get him on the call, but then he has no audio. So I don't know. Don't know what the deal is. But I think, you know, tonight we're seeing, we have seen in practical working out of things exactly what I was talking about in that show, where I said, you know, you got to ask questions, you got to do critical thinking, you got to sift through the stuff, through the data, to get to what you can say, well, this is as much of the truth as I can leech out of this. And that's what we've been doing tonight. I don't wholesale buy anybody's prophecies, but I will read them, and I'll sort through them, and I'll try to see what do I think. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Examine the data, and then sort through it and determine. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again.